As we come to the end of another year, we want to pick up where we left off on Christmas Day. Reading from the book of Ecclesiastes, probably one of the more familiar song or passages out there. In fact, there's even a song written about this. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Whatever is has already been, and whatever will be has been before. And God will call the past to account. 2019, the year has gone so quickly. I want to give you three names, and I wonder if there's one word that you can silently use to describe each of these three individuals. Doug Ford, Donald Trump, Justin Trudeau. What do they all have in common? If we're honest, we probably would say that all three of them have a very high ego. Whether it's a pronouncement, look what my government has done. Whether it's a tweet going out about how America is now great, or whether it's putting a minister in charge of everything and opting out for a great photo. Seems that all three of them are filled with a high degree of self. We live in a society, don't we, that really is all about us. I mean, look to the world of sports. I'm not even thinking professional at this moment. I'm thinking already at a young age. Did you know that by the age of 12 or 13, if your child is any good at soccer, they're already starting to be scouted internationally. I'm sure the other sports are all the same. In the arts, it's very evident if you are good and successful and you have no problem accentuating to the world that you are one of the best actors or musicians in the world. Happens in the world of business, doesn't it? The best want you to know that they're the best. In the area of education, if you're smart, often people don't have a problem letting you know that they're a little bit smarter than you. Is that really a good way to live? I mean, that question really goes against the cultural norm of our world, doesn't it? Now, one would have to admit, as you're looking to this idea, that in some cases there is nothing wrong with a sense of ego. It can be good. It can be very helpful. It can be very beneficial. It can drive us. It can motivate us. It can challenge us to be a better version of ourselves. But more often than not, because we live in a very fallen state, we're sinful. We try to live part life apart from God, is that ego has become something that is very unhealthy, because it puts us more often than not in the place of God. Frank Sinatra wrote a song, "I Did It My Way." Here is just but a bit of it. "Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up, I spat it out, I faced it all, I stood tall, and I did it my way." Isn't that how often most of the world lives? But did you know that in a 2000 BBC interview called Hard Talk, Frank Sinatra's daughter, Tina, has said this: "He always thought that that song, My Way, or I Did It My Way, was self-serving, it was self-indulgent, and he didn't like it. But the problem was that that song began to stick to him like a firm-fitting shoe, and he wished he never wrote the song." Solomon is writing a passage that speaks to that very essence at this stage in his life. And yet his words, "vanity, vanity, a chasing after the wind," there are seasons upon seasons upon seasons, which is true for every one of us. There are good times and there are sad times. There are mountaintop experiences in our story and there are valleys. Maybe you've experienced them all in this past year. And yet they can either bring hope or they can fill us with fear. But each of them remind us is that God is in control of the story of our lives. We've seen that all over Advent. You remember the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth? Well into their old age, they were told that they were going to have a child. And they were told what? Fear not. We looked at the story of Mary, who was probably 14, 15, maybe even 16 years of age. She's unwed. She's about to get married. And she has this vision from an angel who told her she's going to give birth to a child and she shouldn't be afraid. And then there's Joseph. He's going to marry Mary. He's just as young. She's going to have a child and it's not going to be his. And an angel comes to him and says, "Do not be afraid. Fear not." The shepherds, the outcasts in the world, have angels come to them and they were told that they should go to see the Messiah. They would have been the least welcome at the manger. And they too were told, "Don't be afraid." But let's be honest. There are moments in 2019 where we have found those words to be very difficult. And as we exit 2019, we may even wonder if God is really in control of the story of our lives. And Solomon is wrestling with the meaning and the purpose of life up at this point in the text. And it reminds us that life changes. Spring comes before summer, summer before fall, fall before winter, winter before spring. You're young, and then you're old. You buy a new computer, and it is the fastest thing in the market. But I guarantee you, come summertime, it will already be running slow. When you're young, you're spry, you're up, and you're moving, and you're active. But as you get a little bit older, you realize you don't move as fast as you do. Activities take a little bit longer. And sometimes, it's even a little harder to get off the ground when you're playing with your children or grandchildren. Solomon has been living the life or the American dream. He's put himself at the center of everything that was a part of his life. But you notice what he says? It's a vanity, it's a vanity, it's a chasing after the wind. And he asks a question. He asks the question that the world is asking, but I don't know if they really want the answer. What do I gain from all of my work? What's the purpose of life? Is there any meaning? Is getting up, going to work, coming home, going to bed, all that there is to life? Solomon asks a rhetorical question. Because the answer is already in the text. He says, it's meaningless. And yet we pause there and we say, but wait a minute. There's something good about building a business. There's something good about having resources and blessings that we can give to others. There's something good about an education. There's something good about doing well for ourselves in life. And Solomon had it all. He had palaces. He had vineyards. He could eat whatever he wanted to eat. He had so much money that he lent money to people like the Queen of Sheba. He could have intellectual discussions with the greatest of scholars. He even built a temple that is still marked to this day. And here's what he writes. I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it was meaningless, meaningless, a chasing after the wind. See, he got so frustrated with trying to keep up with the Joneses, living the American dream, pursuing everything that our hearts desire, and he says, it left me empty. Because they don't last or they don't endure. And so he turns the attention away from himself. And he turns it towards God. As you exit 2019, what is the purpose of your life? How is it revealed in the way that you live? Have you answered the question to the meaning of life? How does the story of God shape your story this morning? Elizabeth Furtado picks up on what Solomon is writing, and she says this. And I would agree, and Solomon would agree. There is an order in the chaos of the world in which we live. Nothing happens by coincidence. There is something bigger and more powerful than us as human beings. That you are created for a reason and your life has purpose and meaning. And then we discover that day by day, getting closer to God, getting to know him is what it's really all about. And so Solomon looks at his life. And he begins to take a look at it from a variety of perspectives. Laura Copley picks up and says, that if you begin to look at yourself from the outside, life looks pretty good, doesn't it? We seem to have made it just like everybody else. And we find ourselves at this moment singing that catchy tune from the 1960s of the Birds, turn, turn, turn. with words right from our passage. And it talks about the different experiences of the story of our lives. And it reminds us there's a time for everything. Is it a time for you to stay still this morning? Or a time to leap out of faith and do a new job? Is it time to be silent or to share our faith? Is it a time to repair a relationship or a time to pause? From the inside, Solomon says, every pleasure, every delight, every sense of work and power and meaning has an effect. The once in a while wise Jim Carrey in Reader's Digest, March 2006, writes, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. What a message for our world today. Solomon's language still rings true all of these years later. And he says, if the inside everything looks good, if on the outside everything is not what it really appears to be, then there's got to be something else. And so he points us to the heavens where God has set eternity in our hearts, where God has made a plan, where God has created a deep yearning from the beginning of time for us to know God and to enjoy Him forever. And yet intuitively, we know that is true. And we begin to look at all that God has done. And Solomon's words begin to prefigure for us Paul's letter to the Romans, where he says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." And we begin to look at all those gifts. And we look at Solomon and the palaces and the vineyards and the wealth and the education. And we realize those too are our gifts from God. See, his perspective had changed. And so too, we look this morning at our friends and our family, in our houses, in our cars, in our jobs. And we look at this church and we realize they too are gifts from God. And so Solomon's challenge for us at the end of 2019 is the same challenge that he had for himself. Be happy as you can. Enjoy all the good parts of life. Find satisfaction in all that you do because God has provided it for you. You see, something happened within Solomon as he realized he wasn't the center of his own universe. And he realized that there was a good and a loving and a gracious God who not only entered into the story of humanity, but a good and loving and a gracious God who came and he dwelt among us. A good and a loving God who set eternity in our hearts. Is that he lived and he moved and he died and he was buried and he descended into hell. That he rose again, that he ascended into heaven and that he poured out his spirit. And that he sits there at the right hand of God interceding for you and for me that we might know God and be able to enjoy him forever. Because what God does endures forever. God's fingerprint on your story is real and true and evident, and that God loves you, and that God has a purpose and God has a plan for your story. And he invites us to not only know him, but enjoy him forever. To get caught in the rhythm of grace. To choose virtue over lust, self-constraint over gluttony, charity over greed, to choose diligence over laziness, peace over wrath, contentment over envy, humility over pride. And as God revealed that story to Solomon as he reveals that story to us. He shapes the story in your life. And everything that God has given to you, he's given to you for a purpose. Your time, your talents, your possessions, your treasures, so that you might be able to enjoy God and know him forever. What if we exited 2019 and we made 2020 a season of all for Jesus, all for Jesus? To reach out and fold with the good news of the gospel. What if 2020 became a time where we said, you know what? The church has been talking about this. I want to own this. I want to be on fire with the love of God. And I want to be a person of prayer. And so we begin to come to our monthly prayer meetings. Maybe you'll do the prayer at home. Maybe it's you're going to fall so in love with Jesus that you're going to read his word more that you can't wait to come to worship. There's a season to be the hands and the feet of Jesus here and around the world. Maybe 2020 is the year that you decide that you're going to volunteer, maybe to serve in Boys Club or GEMS or go on a mission trip or volunteer with our Connect team. Or to lead a small group. Now is the time to invite people to a place of hope and healing and inspiration. Maybe 2020 is that year where we invite our neighbor to come to the best hospital in the world, known as the church. Where everyday people together figure out the story of God. 2020, maybe that's the year that we penetrate our community and we become radically diverse in age and in culture. Solomon figured it out. And by the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he says this. You want to know what life's really about? You want to know if you've made it in life? It's to fear God and to follow his word. What a challenge for us as we exit this year. To be so radically in love with the story of God whose fingerprint is upon you. That you want to not only fear him, but serve him in all you do. Amen. Would you pray with me? We have so much to be thankful for, oh God, on this last Sunday of the month and of the year. We give you thanks for the very roof over our heads. Give you thanks for family and for friends and for jobs and for finances, for gifts. Give you thanks for this church. We thank you for our leadership. We thank you for the ministries that we have here at Community Church that reach out not only into this community but to the very ends of the earth. Lord, you have been so good to us. You have lavished us with your goodness and your grace. And so, Lord, we come here at the end of this year to give thanks to you for all of that. But, Lord, in the midst of our thankfulness, we realize that there are different seasons of our story. And some of us this morning are in a situation that is hard. It's painful. We need clarity. Others of us are seeking work, Lord, and the doors aren't opening. Others of us have tensions in our family that need healing. Others are expecting new beginnings, oh God. Others of us are expecting new and wonderful challenges that are coming the way that are just beginning to be birthed. And so, Lord, we need your wisdom and we need your guidance to make wise and godly decisions. We need the courage, oh God, to fear you. We need the moving of your Spirit to help us to step out of the comfortableness of our own lives and to move forward in faith. We are in a changing season in the world, oh God. And so this morning, Lord, we want to pray for our country. We want to pray for our leaders, Lord. We want to pray for that not only federally, but provincially and locally. We pray that you would lay your hand upon our leaders. And Lord, although they may not seek your face, that you would seek and that you would speak into their story. And that you would use them mightily for the purposes of God. We pray for our military, Lord, not only here but around the world, that is seeking for not only peace but to protect our freedoms. We thank you that you give us more than we radically deserve. And Lord, as we exit 2019 and we move into 2020, oh God, we're expectant. We're expectant to what you are going to do. How you are going to challenge our faith radically. How you are going to move us into places where we could tell the story of grace. Where you are going to use community church to profoundly impact the community of Richmond Hill. Because Lord, our community so desperately needs you. Just so radically evident by the events of this past week, where Bayview is partially shut down and a young 34-year-old man goes on a shooting spree. To hearing the story of our neighbors, that there's got to be more to life than this. That you are going to use us, that you're going to use this church to do amazing things in this community and around the world. And so, Lord, we are going to join with Solomon. And we're going to echo his words that the chief delight of man is to know you and to serve you forever. Move in the story of our lives by the working of your Spirit to that end. And build your church, we pray. Amen.